We go ahead and 7 o'clock. So we'll take welcome everybody. Welcome to our village board meeting. It's September 8th, just at 7 o'clock. So I'd ask the village clerk, please, to take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner
here.
Trustee Brennan
here.
Trustee Cascatello
here.
Trustee Vasquez
here.
Trustee Gillis
here.
Trustee O'Connell
here.
And President Ducey.
I am here. If I can ask everyone to please stand, Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Very good. Thank you. I'm going to wait for Luke to. Okay. We have no citizen comments. And so that puts us at elected officials' comments and announcements. So I'll start with Erica, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We remember this. Our nation's history, and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I hope everyone's having a wonderful summer, and other than that, no comments.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Lisa?
Sure. I have two comments. One, I want to congratulate Trinity High School and their new president, Tina Taylor Ritzler. May the school continue to shine as an all-girls college prep school with an outstanding IB diploma option. And secondly, household hazardous waste collection. Yes, that's a great time of year. Mm-hmm. So you got to sign up for it. There is a postcard that went out in the mail. Pickup is in October. And you have to submit your request by Tuesday, September 30th. That's it. Thanks.
Great reminder. Thanks. Rez?
Just good evening, everybody, and no additional comments.
Okay, thanks. Rosa? Okay, Katie?
Nothing to add.
Okay, Megan?
I'd like to invite everyone to read along with the library for River Forest Reads. The book is The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, and we'll be reading from September 8th through October 19th with lots of fun events at the library to go along with it.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the reminder. That's great.
Nothing. Thanks.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, I have nothing either. So it was must be a boring 2 weeks. I don't know. All right. So let's move on to our consent agenda. And I think our village attorney and our village clerk would like to take off the executive session meeting minutes because there's a few minor issues with it that should be corrected. So we're going to go ahead and table that if it's okay, item B. I don't know if I need anything official.
No.
Okay. Then given that, I've asked the board then to move and second item A, C, D, E, and F. Please.
Rosa, I'm going to recuse myself from item A since I wasn't at the meeting and didn't participate in the discussion at that meeting.
And I'd like to do the same, okay. Recuse myself since I wasn't at the meeting and didn't participate in the comment.
No, just recuse. Okay, fair enough. Okay, very good. So, thank you.
So motion to approve consent agenda items A, C, D, E, and F.
Right.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? And I appreciate Eric and Katie saying that. So any further questions or comments on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'd ask Rosa to please read the items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda items. A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, August 25th, 2025. C, monthly department reports. D, administration department report. E, accounts payable, August 2025, $1,964,948.35. F, film permit regulation amendments or ordinance.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. So since they recuse themselves, do I have to say their names? Or
I think you.
I could just pass.
Yeah. We'll say yes, but you'll note that they recuse themselves.
So I don't. Do I have to call their names?
Yes.
Okay.
I date and they'll vote aye. I expect.
Well, because of the rest of the issues, but okay.
The accusals, you'll know.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. I did note that. Okay, on A. Yeah. Got it. Okay, thank you. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes, for items C through F.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay. Duly noted. All right, so let's move on to item 8. We've got a few of our park board members here. So this is a motion to approve an ordinance for the park district. If I can get a motion in a second.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the plan development permit for general improvements at the River Forest Park District, Priory Park at 7354 Division Street.
Second.
Okay, thank you. All right, gentlemen, Mike or do you want to?
Sure, I could just provide a brief overview. So the Park District has applied for a plan development permit for installing a splash pad at Priory Park, in addition expanding the Priory Center, the structure at the park, and also adding a picnic shelter at the site. The Development Review Board recommended for approval unanimously last month at their public hearing.
Any questions?
Yeah. It was noted in there. There were two requests. I don't recall seeing it. One was for a camera, and the other one was for the AED. Is that included or
correct?
How did we resolve that?
The park district stated that would be included in the plans, and we included a condition in the ordinance, just kind of memorializing that condition upon approval for both of those items.
Okay, so I had a conversation with Mike at some point in time, you know, earlier in the spring. So Chief, you're okay with what, I mean, it sounds like the camera system was an issue. Is it still an issue or not?
It's in the ordinance.
No. Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure you're comfortable with it. So.
Although I would like to ask Chief, are you okay with the camera system that's being used?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to run, but
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Just so you know, Bob, on page 3 of the ordinance.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 3 and 4.
Yeah, I missed it, so I just want to.
I just want to make sure you saw it too. Yep. Okay. So we appreciate the park district adhering to that.
Following up on one of Bob's comments on the AED, we had asked that it be stored external to the building, and I think that's what has been agreed to. And I'm just want to confirm that it's going to be accessible to all, to the public, and there'll be signage indicating that the AED is there so that people can identify it when it's needed.
So, yeah, please, Mike.
I bet he's going to say yes.
Yes. Yes, it will be located on the east side of the building, so it'll be visible to the splash pad and the playground.
Great. And I have another question. Actually, it's a proposal for a slight revision to this ordinance. And that is in section 4, number 5, which reads that all landscaping proposed and installed at the property shall comply with the Village of River Forest code and be approved by the village. I would ask that we add the word removed so that all landscaping proposed, installed, and removed from the property shall comply with the code.
I assume you don't care.
That's fine with us. Yeah.
Okay. Can we maybe change the motion and second to reflect that?
As amended, yeah.
Erica?
Yes.
I guess as a update to that or a follow-up question to that, I know at Constitution Park there were some trees removed, and there was some question as to whether the trees removed were part of what we had seen here at the board table versus others that need to be removed because of safety. Maybe they were old or sick. And were there others that were not a part of either of those groups? Would you be able to talk about
that? Are we talking constitutional or priory?
No.
Constitution's one tree was not removed. A couple were removed, and they were removed because they were already diseased or in dying condition. So it made efficiency and made sense for taking them down with the contract at the time for the price.
Yep. And were there any trees that were removed that weren't ill or diseased and that we had not seen here at the
No, point? Any tree that was removed outside of what we identified was due to disease or dying condition.
Okay. Thank you. And then have you
a priory
anything?
For priory, it's just the four small trees. Our plan is to transplant them. If we can't, we'll just replace. They're all 3-inch trees still.
Yep.
I mean, they've all been planted in the last 3 years, probably.
Right.
So they'll just be replaced.
Right. Yeah, they're small. I mean, you can replace trees. I think there's a question out there is whether you can actually relocate trees.
The plan is to relocate them around the building according to the landscape plan.
Right.
But if not, we'll just replace them.
Makes sense to me. Okay, very good. Thank you. So let's go ahead, Rosa, and take the vote, please.
Okay. Item AI, River Forest Park District, Priory Park Improvements Ordinance as amended. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Kiscatello?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
And Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Great. Was a Priory Park neighbor. I'm very happy. It's going to be a good addition to the park. So thank you. Okay. We have no unfinished business and we now have our new business, which is a discussion regarding our term limit referendum. And as you know, we wanted to ensure that we had a full complement of members around the table here so we can have this discussion because it is a very important discussion. And I'm going to hand it over to Matt and Lance for just a briefing on kind of where we're at and what our options are, and we can then open it up for discussion.
Sure. Well, let's turn lights. So tonight there's no formal village board action expected. The hope tonight is to get consensus from the village board on how to proceed with the term limit topic, and then we will bring back an action for the village board to formally vote on if that's the direction from the board tonight at a future meeting, making sure that all 7 members are present. So that is our intention tonight. And then I'll have Attorney Molina kind of outline the document that was shared with the village board and kind of the options for proceeding.
Okay, well, I don't want to belabor it. I think we've discussed this before here, and then I tried to set forth in detail kind of where we are and why we're here and what the options are. So in our opinion, in my opinion, and the firm's opinion, there's a question as to what was approved on April 1st, 2025. A legal question as to whether that was a binding or an advisory referendum in the legal sense, because of it was a citizen initiated question, and the petition had some ambiguity as to whether it was one or the other. And so because of that, and because the matter was sent and certified by the clerk, it was our primary recommendation to not certify it, which would have forced a challenge to put it on, and then a court would have decided if it was confusing as to whether it was binding or not. A court would have ordered it not to appear. It wouldn't have let it appear as an advisory because of the confusion. But in any event, it was sent in, it was run, and it passed. And so the question is, do you leave it alone, which is one thing you could do, but that in the future, as the memo indicates, could there's an issue there that could be raised whenever someone is due for a third term, if someone decides to run for that third term. Or you can redo the referendum, essentially, by a board-initiated binding referendum at a future election. And if that were done correctly and clearly, that should solve the matter. So that's the essential choice.
And Lance, what is the timing of doing that? If the board was to decide that, what would be the timing versus the timing of when the original petition from...
You mean when the issue would present itself?
Well, actually, when the petitioners, when they filed the petition, they had, I believe, April 2027.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if this proposal you're talking about, for if the board was to initiate another referendum that we would feel would be more correct in terms of clarity, would we be able to get it in by the time the April 2027
election? Yes. Yeah.
So there's not going to be any delay with
it. It could be run at the general election in November of 2026 or the local election in 2027 and still be effective.
Yeah. Could it also go in the primary of March 2026?
Yes.
So that would be the soonest.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. And if it went in for the March 2026, what would be the deadline for the board to submit it?
I have that.
I'd like to know the timeline.
Yeah, it's in January, I believe, sometime. But we have those dates. I didn't track the primary one.
I believe it's the last week of December, but I will confirm the date here.
Okay, so that does tighten our timeline here, because here we are in September. We'd have to get it.
Well, if you wanted it
by December, is that it?
But it would still be equally effective as to the starting date if it ran in the November 2026 election.
I see.
Which is what the...
Because it has to be April. Yeah, it has to be a future date. It can't be retroactive. And so the earliest you're going to hold an elected official to a term limit, because being able to run for office is considered by the Illinois courts as a property right. So you're not only imposing term limits, you're affecting individuals' ability to run for elected office, you know, even though they've already served two terms. And so it has to be prospective, both constitutionally and under the statute that allows these referenda to be run. And so the earliest you're going to start a term after anyone is imposed is going to be those terms that begin in May of 2027.
And when do the candidates for that election need to submit their paperwork? Is it before or after that November election?
It's after. It's December.
So just so for clarity, I think, and I can understand why there's questions. There's three opportunities for the board to enact this referendum. In the March primary, which says December, we have to put the...
December 29th.
December 29th.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Or November, which is the general election. And when do you have to put that in?
By August 17th, 2026. The village board would need to adopt an ordinance on that date or before.
Right. And then the third is, you're saying April. So I didn't realize that the local election on April 1st.
Correct.
Okay. Because it would be concurrent, I guess.
It could, yeah. It could take effect.
It's concurrent.
Simultaneously. Yeah. So that somebody who is elected, those elected officials being sworn in May of 2027, if the referendum passed at the local election in April, that would be their first term under the new format.
And in your opinion, or at least experience of elections, they're different in terms of voter turnout, right?
Yeah. Sure.
March primary is different than November. November is different than April.
Right. There's a lot that affects it. But whether it's a contested election matters. If there's no real controversy, you get a low turnout. The national election gets a better turnout than the locals typically, and the primaries get the smallest.
Right.
Lance, I have a question. If the ballot initiative, the question that was in the past election was considered advisory, what would be the steps for us right now? in terms of, okay, it was advisory, it won the election, it won by a certain margin. What are the options for the board as of that time? And the reason why I'm asking is because the way I'm looking at it is the clerk certified the ballot question. So it's certified. And so in my understanding of it, it's at the very least an advisory.
I think that's fair.
So what would be next steps for us potentially? What are possible?
So let's remove the ambiguity and let's hypothetically presume that somebody ran an intentionally advisory referendum to the board saying, here's, what does the board do with it? The board legally can act on it or ignore it. That's the law. And for term limits, you can't act on it the normal way you act on things by passing an ordinance, because that's inadequate, because term limits go to what's called the form of government. They go to kind of like the village's constitution. Mm-hmm. And so because it goes to that, the way you would follow up on an advisory referendum advising that the majority of the public in this election thought term limits were a good idea were to put the constitutional, or in Illinois municipal code language, form of government referendum on an agenda where it's clearly not advisory. It's clearly a binding referendum to require term limits for elected officials, either some or all, in the village of River Forest. And since the advisory referendum in this case applied to all elected office, you would follow up if you thought that's what we should do with an ordinance that clearly puts a binding referendum on a future election.
Okay. And so in that case, when you're talking about the law that pertains to that, that we would have to follow a process of then putting a binding question onto a ballot, is that because of River Forest law and code, or is that because of state municipal code?
It's because of the Illinois Municipal Code.
Okay. When I look at the Illinois Municipal Code, it looks like you can pass a term limit by referendum or ordinance, and there doesn't seem to be any ambiguity to that. Is there somewhere where it says you can only do it by referendum, or shows the process that it needs to be that?
I haven't looked at that statutory language recently, but that's not my understanding of what the Illinois legislature did. There was a time where referenda were run for term limits and they were all thrown off because there was no statutory mechanism to run such a binding referendum. The legislature changed that, created a statute and had several requirements, but the statute allows a referendum to be run in my experience. I mean,
So I think there was, I don't know if we're talking about the same one, but there was a change in it in 2016.
That was the original one. That's the one I'm talking
about. Yeah. Okay. And that has the new verbiage, or it has the verbiage of by referendum or ordinance in it. It says that you can't go back. You have to be prospective, but it doesn't say that it actually sort of changes it. So it's not a part of the form of government. Term limits is no longer a part of the form of government because of that statute. So
that's not my understanding, but I'm also not prepared to really address it in any detail.
Okay.
Right now.
Is that something that you can maybe prepare and get back to us? Because the way that I've seen it and how it looks like we could put an ordinance in place based on an advisory question. So
is that also depending on, if you're looking at that, does that also depend on whether you're home rule or not?
It does not depend.
No, it should. That shouldn't change the question, although the legislature can sort of structure things any way it wants, because home rule municipalities are bound by form of government changes.
The change that they made at that time, it specifically says that home rule needs to follow this and make it prospective, because beforehand you didn't have to follow the state as a home rule. So it makes that clarification.
Well, they always had to be prospective.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, you can't go back.
Yeah. Well, people tried to.
Right, but they were all struck down.
They were struck down.
But I want to make sure that I understand Erica's question. I mean, I don't think you're saying you can't codify what we have right now.
Well, Erica is suggesting, Trustee Bachner is suggesting that the statute that's in effect
could.
Says that, but it's not. I'm not familiar.
It says an ordinance. We can pass an ordinance as well.
Well, it is limited to after an advisory referendum. I don't.
Well, I think
that's what we need.
That's what Tinley Park did. They had an advisory referendum and passed an ordinance. They didn't go back out to binding referendum. So they didn't vote twice. They just had the question on their ballot, and then they created ordinance.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's something I need to look at if that's being raised.
Because that seems to me the easiest path. Like, we've been given a vote by people that at the very least is an advisory. They said that they wanted term limits. And so to me, it makes sense that that could be the next step.
Yeah. I mean,
but we go back. Question is binding or binding?
Even if it was advisory, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was binding, we would be required. Like, it's required, it's out of our hands. If it's advisory, then we're taking it up. And in my opinion, like, we should do it because the voters asked us to do it. But that would be, you know, that would just be a conversation so that, and it would be done with.
And there's also one issue we should look at. And again, it's kind of hypothetical because I haven't even opined on what the statute says. But here, I think you can say this was a type of advisory, but it was ambiguous. So you could do the, at the very least, it's still some issue if you take action, I think, about what it is and whether it could be challenged. But, I need to look at that issue.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the question.
Because to my understanding, it's still a change in the form of government.
Okay.
I was going to say, then what I'm hearing, though, is you need to find out whether, let's assume this board decided we're going to go with a binding decision. I mean, in the direction of a binding referendum. I think what I'm hearing is that you need to confirm whether the board currently can just pass an ordinance that say we're going to treat it like a binding?
Well, I don't know about treat it like a binding.
Whatever it is.
What the legislation provides for.
Okay.
Again, you know,
I'm not putting you on the spot. Yeah, we need that clarity.
I do agree.
I'm still a little bit confused because we could do that now. We could pass an ordinance to codify what we have.
Well, no, that's true. And I would say that you could. But if you didn't change your form of government, it wouldn't be binding. So what Trustee Bachner is saying is that we can change the form of government based solely on an advisory referendum.
Right. What I'm saying is that it's no longer considered a form of government.
No, I understand the nuance.
And so
I understand
we are nuance, able
but
to.
But that's what I need to look at.
Yeah.
And it says that in the statute you read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my question, is if we were able to, at this point, create ordinance around the issue.
You can, even if I don't agree with Trustee Bachner, because you can still pass an ordinance putting it in your code. You know, you can treat the referendum as if it were binding. But the point is if it weren't binding, you wouldn't be changing anything. But if the statute allows you to pass a binding referendum based on the advisory binding ordinance,
ordinance.
The advisory referendum, then you can.
Okay. But we need to look into that.
Well, I do. I don't, to my knowledge, I'm not familiar with that. All of the ones that I'm familiar with dealt with referendums. And you know, I don't want to pass the buck here, but I'm not the primary person that does election law, which is kind of a narrow thing. And so we've been working on this whole issue the way it is.
Okay.
But my understanding, and I remember when the statute was passed, because that was at the time when they were all being struck down because they were running these referenda, right? You can through petitioned initiatives or even by boards, and they were being struck down because there was no statutory allowance. And then my understanding was the statutory allowance allowed for a referendum to be run. So I'll look at that.
Just for reference, the section of code that I'm looking at is 65 ILCS 5 /3.1-10-17. I don't know
I'm sorry, can you read 3.1?
3.1-10-17.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't know if there are other,
understood.
Parts of code in the municipal, in the Illinois State Municipal Code that would be, referenced to this.
And I have a question about the information that's in front of our board that we've been given, your memo. But there's nothing that's been shared with the residents, and the memo that you've given us is confidential.
As it has to be.
So I find myself in an odd situation here where residents want to know what's going on, and the only document we've received recently has been this confidential memo, which we can't discuss. Is it possible for you or village staff to create a synopsis of some of the opinions or analysis or recommendation in the memo so that the residents who, voted on this in April can have some understanding about what's before us as a board and what we're being asked to rely on to make decisions and use our judgment on?
Yes.
Super.
I have a question around that too then. Why does this memo have to be confidential?
It has to be from me to the board. I cannot waive the privilege. The board can.
Okay.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
So, but we could waive the privilege.
Yes.
Okay. Because I've seen, we have a memo in relation to ethics that's on our website right now. That's from Kleinthorpe Jenkins, I think specifically from Lance, to us as the village trustees. I don't remember specifically waiving the confidentiality right. I don't know who has that authority.
That was my recollection, was we discussed putting it on.
Did
and
we?
And
yep.
Majority
okay.
of the board decided okay. It should be public, and that's your...
That's a big issue.
And then, and we've gotten memos before that are in our packets, So what you're telling us is basically we would waive the confidentiality. I guess that's a question to both you, Kathy, and Matt. Do you make decisions around waiving confidentiality around memos on your own when there's a decision to put it on a packet? Are you able to do that, or does that have to come through the entire board?
I would recommend that it's the board make that decision. I think what Lance said is correct. It's just his opinion to us, which I think should stay confidential until we say it isn't.
Yeah.
Up to the board what you want to do. There's nothing in there that, frankly, the community doesn't know already. So
yeah.
But I don't take what he did lightly. So if this is the board's decision, we can release it to the public. Like I said, there's nothing in there that the public doesn't already know. So
I'm fine with that.
I think it would be good to let the voters know what we're being asked to rely on in making a decision.
Yeah. 2,200 of them. So I agree.
Now, would we want to wait until we have this additional information?
Waiving the attorney-client privilege until we know where direction we're going. And then at that point, we can have him define what options we're heading in.
We're talking about one. I'm not saying a blanket waiver. I'm talking about this particular memo.
And I think that's the whole thing. We're in this situation because there was a rush to get stuff done, and let's take our time. We have, as we discussed earlier, we have time to do this. Let's do this right. because we're looking like people who rush to get stuff done, and then we're in situations where we don't have clarity on our purpose or our direction.
And would it make sense to, I mean, and I'm just putting it out there, do we need to release this, or do we need to relieve, like, is there a summary document that makes more sense that addresses
that's
your
that's
concerns?
That's what I'm saying, once we decide.
I think that's what Katie was saying, is a synopsis, but I think you're all making a lot of sense. I mean, there's no rush to get it out the door. Like I said, information's not quite starting. But I mean, I think it would be good to add other issues that we just talked about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right now, I'm sorry, I'm jumping in, but Erica raised a good point.
Yeah.
And Lance hasn't had a chance to look into it. I'd like him to look into it. So then he would most likely revise his memo. So that gives us all the options we have. Now, I know we're not done discussing. So if there's other points that board members have, they want to raise your questions, now's the time to do it so that he can go back and address a full scope of his legal opinion. So that's what I'm suggesting.
I do hope we can give the community some information sooner rather than later. It has been an outstanding question, and I want them to understand that we're hearing them and we are responding to their need for information. I get a lot of questions about it from people with varying opinions about what's happened. So I'd very much appreciate it if we could create at least a state of where we're at with this issue, even if we haven't settled.
I think Erica brings up an interesting point that I think we need to give our council the opportunity to review and respond to. So again, we're giving the right message and not a half-baked message.
I understand that point of view. If the memo that we received was not fully flushed with all the options, we may not want that out there.
Right.
So
exactly.
I get that. But I would like to see the information soon.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we'll discuss what that is for sure. Once he gets it done.
And can I ask this question? I know it's important that all of us be here when we have this next discussion, and I'm still in favor of that. But I'm not trying to delay any further. So when I'm asking Lance, or we're asking Lance to do some, is he going to bring it back? For example, are we all going to be here at the next board meeting? Or
I will not be.
Then will we all be at the following board meeting?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
I think we have to talk about specific dates.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
if you don't mind,
that's fine too. If you want to pull the calendar, I guess what I'm trying to find, when is the next board meeting that we're all going to be?
It would be
October
13th.
That's the first board meeting in October, the regularly scheduled.
Where everybody's going to be here. Right.
If that's.
Nope.
No.
Well.
Who's going to be here?
Will everyone be there?
I have a paper calendar at home that I need to consult.
Scheduled meeting. Okay. Regularly scheduled meeting. So that's not a meeting that's been switched. So hopefully it's on everyone's calendar. But I understand things happen. So, okay. Well, that would be the date.
And Lance, can I just ask a question of clarification to Erica's point? If we decide and say that we're going to look at this as an advisory question, and let's say we can pass an ordinance to do that, does the question of ambiguity still come into play when somebody can challenge it?
It may.
So
it may. I mean, I understand what Trustee Buckner was saying, which is like, it's got to be one or the other. I get that, but it's not really one or the other necessarily. So
of ambiguity still stays and still applies, so somebody can still challenge it.
We can't. I can't eliminate it legally.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think also someone can always challenge any law, right? You know, so the clerk did certify it. So there, you know, it's one of two.
Well, I don't want to argue, but the clerk certifying it really didn't change what it is. But there's a lot of sense in saying it had to be one or the other. There's a lot of practical common sense, but there's also, I think, an argument that if it's not clear what it is, it may be nothing. And that, I think, is the question, right? Yeah. So
And I hear you that we're not going to be able to eliminate risk, but I'd like to make it as low as possible because we're not just governing for today. We're governing for the future. We want our town to be as healthy as it is today, you know, long after we're not here.
Yeah. And the issues I raised in relation to the code, it may mean also that we don't need an advisory question to, as a board, to instill term limits. So we may take what we saw at this question, you know, on this question, the last ballot, and put it in place, whether we think it was binding, advisory, or I guess nondescript.
Yeah, well, I think what we're hearing is we need Lance to understand whether or not the code, the Illinois Municipal Code, allows for term limits without it being changing your form of government. Sounds right. Like you could. Right. Can you implement term limits without your changing your form of government?
And therefore, we don't need a binding referendum. We can just pass it by.
Don't need anything.
Well, so
that's what I'm hearing from Eric.
There are a couple things I heard here. The one thing I can say for sure is I do understand all the variables. So what I've heard is the legislature has said that term limits are no longer a form of government issue, and maybe any municipality can just pass term limits going forward without any referendum being run at all.
Right.
Or maybe there's been a suggestion that maybe if there's been an advisory referendum, that can be a precondition to passing an ordinance. I don't know about either of those scenarios.
Okay.
Every single term limit I've ever dealt with has been by referendum, but I haven't looked. I remember when this code provision was added, and I was involved in it. Was a municipal generated binding referendum, but it was right after the statute was passed. So I've dealt with it, but no one has ever suggested that the legislature took it out of the form of government. And I don't want to, that'd be news to me, but I can't say no. I want to look at it.
I think we should.
Okay.
Okay. So then I think that would be our direction right now is Lance is going to do some homework. And then he's going to write up his, confidential memo back to us, and then we will have further discussion and hopefully get to a solution.
I think what I'm going to do, if it's okay, is we'll leave the memo as it is, and then I'll just take off from there and say that at the board meeting when this was discussed, it was brought up that these options may be added, and then we'll go from there. So
because
you've all read that, so you don't need to go through it and say, "Oh, where's that? Where did he put that part?"
Right.
Okay.
And then it creates a timeline.
No. Agreed.
And I would also again ask that when the board gets this next confidential memo, that someone, presumably staff, creates a synopsis with you might want to, Lance might want to approve it, so that the public can see what it is that we're being told, or what it is that they can know about what we're being told.
I don't think there's any issue with that. I mean, again, it's information that they already know. I mean, at least those that want to know. So I don't think there's anything. We just want to make sure that everybody around this table has the same information. And that's why we wanted to make sure it was confidential. So we all had, again, because it's coming from our village attorney, but creating a synopsis is not a big deal. It's simply because it's providing information they already know, and that's fine. And so we'll work on that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Super. Well, thank you guys. So then that's it. So I'll ask for adjournment.
You adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Trustee O'Connell? Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Costello?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
And Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.